The 12 short stories in Jen Mikulski's new book explore the ways in which our relationships with family, lovers, and friends help define who we are and say a lot about our place in the world. Each of the stories in From Here features a different narrator, but a single thread runs throughout: the desire to feel safe, to feel loved, and to have a place to call home. Mikulski works masterfully within the confines of the short story's economy of words, creating vivid scenes and characters that linger long after the tale's end. She talked about the creative process behind the collection.
They came over a period of, I'd say, about 7 years. And, you know, I didn't write with any theme in mind. I'm usually working on several things at once, so the short stories were a way to sort of get into a quick place easily while I was working on a novel, or because you have other ideas and maybe, but I never know when I'm writing whether something will become a novel or a short story. It's kind of funny. I'll just write a short story and it won't end, and it becomes sort of a novel or a novella in some cases. But it seemed like I had it. This is my second collection. I had a first collection come out in 2007 on a small press, and it seemed like I had enough stories that had a common theme I started to notice about people being dislocated, and I thought maybe that would be a good idea to put them together and see how they sort of resonated off each other, contrasted, and the result was this collection.
It really does go into concepts of home and what a place can mean to people, but also many of the people in the stories were looking to define themselves through their relationships with not just places, but also other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was actually surprised because I always feel like I don't try to put a lot of myself in my work, but like subconsciously I was surprised in retrospect to read the stories and feel like there was a lot of me, or like I was in the characters, or I was sort of, I think I explained it to someone, just like putting all my emotions and problems and feelings into a blow dart and blowing them into a character and see what would happen. And it's just something that I've struggled with, a place to find home, whether it's sexually, my sexuality, or just a physical place. Like, I always thought I would leave Baltimore. As soon as I graduated from St. Mary's College, I thought, I'm leaving Baltimore. And here it's 20 years later, and I'm still here. And, you know, no longer to my surprise, I may die here. it took me a long time to discover that home isn't a physical place, and it's not. It's just where you are and being comfortable in that place. And I think a lot of the characters sort of do that struggle for me, or do that journey for me.
Yeah, it's fascinating. But also, you talk about putting yourself in your stories, but the characters in your stories are incredibly widely drawn. I feel like I get to know them very quickly. That's a really, over the course of a novel, a person can be, you know, like layers peeled back and they reveal themselves. But you have to get that pretty quickly together in a short story. That's fascinating to me, because some people write and you can tell their character. You can sort of sense the person in their stories that is them. But you write about young people and old people and men and women, and they all have this similar character. But how do you find those characters to be that character that you blow that blow dart of yourself into?
Well, thanks for the compliment. I just, you know, I've always been very shy and a little introverted, maybe not so much now, but I have always lived in my head, and I've always had, I guess, imaginary friends, or I've lived entire worlds in my own head as sort of a way to have complex emotional ideas and things I was exploring growing up. And sometimes those people are even as real to me as real people too. So, and it's just also, I don't know, some people are really into, I'm not a very good landscape writer. I'm not very good about describing things around me, but I'm very attuned to like internal landscapes. And I guess that's just something that, being inside my head so much, I'm more accustomed to really trying to get at what the inner working of someone else is. And I guess I'm just happy that it works.
Yeah. So it definitely works. I mean, I feel like I want to know more about, I usually at the end of a story, I want to know what happens to those characters. Like, what are they going to be okay? Are they going to be okay?
Thanks so much. That's always what I want for a story, is it to live on. Like, I want people to close the book and say, so, you know, what's happening? What happened to them? Because sometimes for me, I even think, well, what happened to that person in that story? I wonder what they're doing now. Like, because they still live on, even though I'm not writing about them. Like, I do feel that they're real in some way. And I guess that's what I try to leave the reader with, that, you know, they do have a life. It's not contained in this little diorama that I've presented to you, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of the characters are people who are in a place that could be a much more simple story, but for the fact that, say, you're the child of immigrants trying to be more of an American kid, like really longing for a different sense of who you are in a place, and that sense that everyone else around you has it so much better than you. Mm. And I know kids have a feeling of that sometimes. You know, you always think that, like, oh, that person's so lucky. Everything goes just right for her. But there's that sense of, if I could just change this one thing about myself, it would be so much easier.
I think in part that's why a lot of why I became or just started to write when I was little, I was convinced that, well, you know, my family was Polish. We grew up in Baltimore City. And I always just thought, you know, that everyone else's life was, and mine wasn't unhappy, but I just thought everyone had to be so much greater than mine. And I would always sort of imagine, like, my cousins or my neighbors, or I would try to live their life for a day and see if it was any, you know, get the same clothes or the same toys and try to live the same way that they did. And I'm sure they weren't any happier, but I was just so convinced that they were. And I think just trying to always get into someone else's perspective sort of stayed with me, and I still explore that in my writing.
Those relationships that people have with their families, with their friends, those relationships do tend to define who we are and also what we want from a relationship sometimes. I felt like a lot of these stories spoke to the fact that we often want the person, you know, either our partner or our parents or someone to be different than they are.
Right. There's always compromise, and I you know, it's weird. I just always think about what we settle for versus what we want. Are we grateful for what we have? Is it okay to want more? And I think a lot of the characters in my story struggle with that too. Like, do I have enough? Should I be grateful for what I have? Do I want more? Is it okay? What exactly is human? I think I struggle with that a lot. Like, what in relations with people, what to take, what to give. And I think it's always evolving, and it depends on the person. And it morphs, and it really does morph your personality depending on who you're with, and intimately and not intimately.
But Baltimore, I think, is a place where, especially the literary community, seems to be very, very connected. And you're very active within the literary community. What do you think writing and working and living in Baltimore brings to your work?
Well, you know, when I got involved, I guess it was about 2006 or 7, like I graduated from Towson a few years before in the master's program, and I just felt very disconnected. And I wanted to get involved with writers again, and I didn't know how to, like, say, recognize them walking down the street,
right.
You know. So, you know, I started a literary journal, and I met Greg Wilhelm at City Lit. I met Rafael Alvarez. I went to a party at his house, and it's something. Baltimore is very, it's very small, but I also see this overlap in, like, the music community and the art community. It's very small and very encouraging. It's not competitive. It's not, you know, that everyone wants to, and it's easy to get involved because if you have an idea, you can go forward and do it. If you want to start a reading series, you can do that here. It's not like, it's not New York or Chicago where it's just more intimidating, there's more competition. So I think the great thing about Baltimore is you meet one writer, you've essentially met everyone because everyone now is connected across the universities and the different parts of the city. So it feels like a big family in many ways. And it's just, it's helped me to just, you know, read other writers and know that we're all going through the same struggles. And it's a supportive community. And I just, you know, doing the reading series with Michael Kimball, and now I'm doing one at Artifact with the Ivy Bookshop. It's just, you know, I just love to hear writers, and I love to hear writing, and I love to hear what other people are doing and working on. So it's just something that I do more of because I want to see that, you know, the same way someone may want to see, like, more of a certain type of film. They can start a film series. It's just something that I wanted to see more of. So, you know, you have to just step forward and be that person to do it, I guess.
Well, Jen, I love the stories. I imagine you're working on a novel or two or three or four or other projects at the same time.
I do tend to work on a couple of things at once just because your interest waxes and wanes and what you're things. I'm working on a novel right now. It's kind of hard because when The Tide King came out last year, it was a pretty epic story, and it's hard to compare, you know, or do something to follow up per se. But I did finish a novel that's in submission. I'm writing another one, and they're both completely different. So I'm just happy to go in completely different directions and let my, you know, imagination go where it will.
I would imagine that you got a lot of really nice press. There's many eyes on you, many, many people reading your work, that with success comes a certain, okay, I better follow this up with something really great.
Well, I'm always really surprised when people come up to me and say, I read The Tide King, or I read Could You Be With Her Now? And I mean, because I it's still like a new experience, and it will never get old, I think, for me to hear that someone read something that I wrote and enjoyed it, because it is a form of, we're having a dialogue, the same as having coffee, like they're reading something I wrote and they're responding to it, which is a great feeling. So,
well, it's awfully nice of you to keep writing, and we'll all keep reading.
Oh, thank you so much.
From Here is Jen Mikulski's new collection of short stories. Other works include The Tide King, Could You Be With Her Now, and Close Encounters. She'll be celebrating the release of From Here at the Ivy Bookshop on Saturday, September 20th at 6 p.m. You can find details about the event at theivybookshop.com, and you can learn more about the author at jenmikulski.com. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.